Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great, great, great. Got my coffee and ready to go.
Oh, good. Me too. Coffee as well. Anybody else? Oh, nice. Sylvia has a coffee.
Team coffee.
Team coffee, Maggie. So, woo! Team coffee today. We have Gary, myself, Cindy, Sylvia, and Matthew. And we're drinking coffee. It's really good.
That rich up champions.
Yes. Yeah, coffee is good. It's good. I mean, it helped me keep alert. Recently, we were playing Trivial Pursuit. Have you heard of Trivial Pursuit?
Yes. Very, very complicated sometimes. You know, because you have to be a know-it-all.
Yeah.
You have to know a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you do. It's so hard. The questions are really tough. I guess a lot, but you can learn something, right? And I would especially want to play Trivial Pursuit to learn so that I can win on the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? There's a chef called David Chang that won the millionaire game. And it was just an exciting moment. I will show you.
All right, Mina, although he and his wife never touched a light switch for fear of being shocked, who was the first president to have electricity in the White House? Ulysses S. Grant, Benjamin Harrison, Chester A. Arthur, or Andrew Johnson? Grant, Harrison,
Grant.
Arthur, Johnson.
That would be the 1800s. I think it's probably Harrison.
Her words were, it's probably Harrison.
This is the most painful, nervous, this is terrifying. She's so much smarter than I am, though. And she knows this stuff. See, she, truthfully, I don't even know if Benjamin Harrison was a president. Did you know he was a president?
I can't say anything.
So, all I'm trying to say is, she's much smarter than I am in so many facets that she would even know that Benjamin Harrison was a president, and enough to distinguish that it wasn't Grant. I'm a gambling man, and shame on me if this is wrong, but I'm doing this because having $1 million right now in this moment is a game changer for many, many families. And yes, $500,000 is as well. And I want to say no, just take the money. But I'm not. And Mina, if you're wrong, it's not your fault. This is all my fault because I didn't do well enough in school and I was a terrible student. This is why I became a chef.
Hey, so I just want to go over the stakes here. You've got $500,000. If you get this right, you'll win $1 million. You know that. If you don't, you drop all the way down to $32,000. So, for all intents and purposes, $468,000 is at stake right now. No celebrity in the 20 years that this show has been on has ever won $1 million.
How many of them have gotten the last answer wrong?
Well, Norm MacDonald, as I recall, had the right answer, but Regis talked him out of it.
Oh, my God.
No one's ever gone for it. They've all walked away.
As much as I want to walk away and the embarrassment I will have the rest of my life for getting it wrong, it means more to me to get this right, to put a spotlight on the industry in need. And at this point, the way things are, you know, things are pretty bad. And this is so hard. I never imagined I would be in this position. And I've always told myself, I'm going for the $1 million. So I'm gonna let my stupid confidence, bravado, win out. I'm gonna go, final answer, B, Benjamin Harrison, final answer. God, no.
Well, you're no Norm MacDonald. And I'm no Regis, we all know that. God, I wish I was. But David Chang, your metallic testicles just won you $1 million for your charity. You see that?
What?
Good things do happen sometimes.
I can't believe this.
What? What? Hey, buddy. You did it.
Wow.
Yeah, so Chef David Chang on Historic Millionaire wins for charity. He won on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which is such an exciting thing to be on. The $1 million prize, he will give it to the Southern Smoke Foundation, which provides people support for people in the food and beverage industry. And it was an exciting moment. His friends and family was watching. They was cheering for him. I thought it was really amazing.
Nice.
I've been on the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire audience before.
Actually, I have too. When it was in, I think it was in Connecticut.
Oh, you have?
Yes, it was in Connecticut. And what's his name was on it? Terry something? Terry Crews. He was.
That's the one I've been on.
Yeah. So I was there for his. And it was nice though. You know, sometimes you go to these websites and they pay you to be in the audience. So they paid us like money to be in the audience. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. You know, I only did it at one time though.
Yeah. Yeah, I did it. I think I did it one time too. And I also applied to be on the show. So they gave us like a quiz, 100-question quiz. And I didn't make it. But it was a fun experience trying. It was a 90s quiz or something. And I thought that I would get the 90s trivia because, you know, I grew up mostly in the 90s.
Right.
And yeah, but I got most of the questions right. It's just that I guess you have to get 100% right.
Ooh, that's not fair.
Yeah. So whoever gets the most questions right, I think they are on the show.
Or it could be the most questions long to make it more entertaining.
So you have to be...
What was that?
I didn't hear you, Matt.
Oh, right. Or you can have to get the most questions wrong for entertainment. They might split it up based off of how many people can get do good and bad. Because if everyone's super smart, they got to lose all their money. And if everyone's, like, super... low, not smart, I don't want to say dumb, but if they're not smart so much, that it will be pretty boring if no one can pass the first two questions. So they probably make a mixture of them all based off your test results, would be my guess.
So, Cindy, you didn't get 100% on the 90s?
I didn't get 100%. I think there was like three questions I didn't really know, but it was a lot I knew, surprisingly. And I thought maybe I did have a chance. And I was surprised I didn't have a chance. It would have been fun to be on the show.
Yes, it would have.
My nerves, hopefully my nerves wouldn't have gotten the best of me on the show.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
I was in the, so when I was in the audience that one time, they put me and my friend in front of the, well, actually behind Terry Crews. So you could kind of see us in the show. But they put us with all these college students because we looked young. And,
oh.
Yeah. And it was just so funny because they were like, oh, I'm not sure if this is the right name, but Maritime College Science students, please stand up. And everyone was clapping for us. So it was just hilarious because we weren't a part of the college, but they put us a part of the college student group.
Maybe they were hinting at something.
To go to college?
Yes, go back to college, Cindy.
Scholarship.
future doctor. That's what they said. These are the future doctors.
Oh, speaking of doctors, I got the perfect article for that.
Oh, yeah? Okay, perfect.
All right, let's get into it. If I forget how to share.
Yeah, so yeah, before you get into it, they put us in the front also because we wore bright colors. So if you wear bright colors in these shows, they put you in the front.
Cool.
Yeah. I would love $1 million. It would be so good right now.
I think we all would.
Yeah, right? You know, I would probably save it, pay any bills, and, you know, try to do some good with it.
I'll do half invest and half in my, I'll ask Matthew how, what stocks to get.
Ooh. Yeah, stocks is probably good to have.
Do real estate, like he says.
Yes, real estate is really good. You know, you can make big with that.
Yes.
I'd probably do similar. Investing is good.
Okay, so being that I am part Cherokee, this is kind of cool for me. First of its kind, med school makes history for Cherokee people. In rural Oklahoma, a brand new medical school sits in the Cherokee Nation, training Cherokee people to become physicians at Nation clinics. So Oklahoma State basically has given the chance for the Cherokee people on their land to have medicine, like from their own people, and have their own, I don't know what the words are, but basically they can have their own hospitals, and it's kind of a good thing, because if you know anything about lots of reservations, though they don't have the same laws that America has, they don't also have the same opportunities that America has. So it's really nice that Oklahoma State has made this happen.
That, oh, cool. It's good to give education to people. It's always worthy, right? You know, you always need doctors.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I guess now more than ever. I remember watching the Netflix series Pandemic when it first came out, and they were interviewing some doctors, and I think it was, I forgot what rural state it was, but there was one doctor in this one state, and she manned the entire building. And she said that if everyone came down with a disease, she would not be well equipped. She's only one doctor that's managing like 800 people. So the fact that Oklahoma State is reaching out to get more doctors in these rural places is really important, actually, you know, because like it'll save lives, because these people can't, you know, when you're really sick, you can't afford to go to a big hospital with more doctors.
That is true.
The thing about like an Indian reservation, it's almost like more rural than even rural America, because there's so few people. So they desperately need it too.
Yeah. I'm glad that they're implementing the science and the degrees there. Education is important. It comes in handy one day, especially now, you know, with coronavirus, it has came back again at a higher spike. But, you know, we all have to do what we can to lower the risk for ourselves and our family. So this one lady, she's 102 years old. She was born during the Spanish flu, the pandemic flu in 1918.
Okay.
Yeah. She was born under the Spanish flu of 1918, and she's 102 years old. She beat the coronavirus twice.
Wow.
Yeah, Angelina Friedman is her name. She's from New York, like us. She also survived cancer. It's beautiful because she went through two pandemics and cancer. And she's strong and she's pushing. It's very important, you know, and you have these doctors, like Matthew said, you know, all these programs, you can learn the medicines and treat people.
Really nice. It's nice to hear that, because you always hear that older people are the ones who are most susceptible and it's the most risky for them to catch the virus, and they have a lower chance of surviving. To have a 102-year-old woman survive the pandemic, both pandemics, you know, she only lasted maybe 10 days with a fever. That's really, it's really good to hear that it's atypical, but it's great to hear that you can still pull through from this.
It's not
a huge death sentence like everyone's making out to be, but still you gotta be careful. You never know how you would react to it.
She didn't have much symptoms, by the way. But she caught it and she recovered quickly. They took her out from the nursing home and put her in the hospital, and this was when it was starting in March over here.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was a scary time.
That was. I just isolated. I went out every 2 weeks just to get food. That was about it.
Yeah, same here. I isolated. I think in the beginning of April was when it was crazy. I went out to Key Food and, you know, bought so much stuff and thinking that, you know, we need canned foods for a couple of months. But it did help. Mm-hmm. It helped a great deal for a few months. So it wasn't too bad. I didn't have to go out too much for that, but yeah, we were in hibernation mode, all of us.
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
It said that she survived coronavirus twice.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
I'm not sure
if that was a typo.
I think they meant the flu. I think they meant the Spanish flu pandemic.
Yeah, I would hope to think that once you get this horrible thing known as coronavirus, we don't get it again.
Yeah, because when I was reading the article, it didn't say, you know, actually twice inside of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was born during the Spanish flu pandemic on a ship, a passenger ship bringing immigrants from Italy to New York City. And her mom died during childbirth, which is sad.
There's another man that also survived both the Spanish flu and coronavirus, and he's like 100 and something as well, obviously.
That's amazing. And
it's possible. That being said, everyone should do the best they can to avoid it and wear their mask and stuff. Be safe.
Just be aware, that's all, because, you know, you don't know how your body's going to react to it, so you have to, you know, cover yourself and the person you're with.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's getting sick of the mask, but we still have to do what we can to stay alive. And
if you really care about somebody, then you're going to mask up.
Yeah. I'm concerned about more my mom and my grandma, you know, the people who are more elderly than me.
Right.
Because maybe I can fight it, you know, and I don't want to give them anything. I don't want to give any of my friends anything if I were to have it. She said, you just can't give up. You have to fight.
Yep.
But that's about it. Yeah. It's positive news with any viruses or anything. Yeah, I mean, positive news that when they survive.
Definitely. And she came out. She looks like she came out without any lasting injuries.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah, she looks good.
Yeah, she looks really great.
102.
Yeah. Her daughter said that she didn't even have any symptoms. She wasn't even sick. She was surprised. That was it. She beat it. So I hope everyone beats it if they ever get it. You know, it's such a tough thing to have. You know, we know a friend or two that got it and they really suffered, but, you know, they're alive. They beat it.
Yeah. Well, I don't wish that on anyone, of course. Yeah.
But it's positive news that people are surviving.
That's right. And with this pandemic, it's like, you know, people who are jobless, you know, it hurts. You know, yeah. Especially if they can't afford food. Personally, I volunteer at a church now, and we get 2 trucks of food that we hand out to the neighborhood. So like Mondays and Thursdays, I spend like an hour or two just unloading trucks for my local, you know, church. And then later that day, they hand out food. And that helped. There were so many people. And that's what's needed, all this kindness. And a lot of local establishments are donating to the church. Restaurants are giving their shipments to us, to them. Made a big, big, big difference. Everyone looking out for each other.
That's really sweet that you volunteer.
Yeah.
And it's so nice that people are giving food and helping each other out. I think everyone outside the world, if you can give charity, well, legit charities, and food to someone, especially food to somebody, that really helps a lot. Because of COVID, a lot of people, you know, unfortunately did lose their jobs, like you said.
And Thanksgiving, I went out to a restaurant that supports the church. So, you know, try to get people to eat there. And a lot of the proceeds went to the church. So, you know, that's giving.
That's sweet. Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. What restaurant was this?
That's my good news.
That's certainly good news. What restaurant was this?
It's called the Skillman.
Stillman?
The Skillman.
Oh, the Skillman.
It's on Skillman and 46th Street.
Okay.
In my neighborhood.
Oh, that's sweet. So, that's so lovely that they were doing charity.
And there's other places too. There's like the pizza place that give out free breakfast on Sundays. And that's why I love my community in Sunnyside, because everyone's always giving. You know,
that's sweet.
It's always good news around my neighborhood.
You're in a good news station.
Yes.
Sunnyside, Queens.
Yeah. It's gonna live up. It's living up to its name.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that the restaurants giving free food, you know, on certain days, it's great. It's just so nice for the community to be happy and help people. You know, they can save money by eating that food instead of going to the grocery.
Yes.
And using their paycheck to buy stuff. So certainly good news today.
Wow, very nice.
Yeah. Anyone else have an article?
Well, speaking of good news relating to ending the pandemic, hopefully, there is a website on Bloomberg.com that tracks the coronavirus vaccine, that tracks the course of the coronavirus vaccine. Yep.
Yeah.
Tens of millions of people will be vaccinated.
Okay. I mean, hopefully it works.
Yeah, hopefully it works. They're tracking 9 promising vaccines so far. So, I mean, we're working hard the country's working hard to get back on its feet, and that's really great. And also, speaking of other news, I wonder, why didn't they call it a Christmas star? Where does it say Christmas star? They call it a Christmas star or Star of Bethlehem. Okay.
That's sweet.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Matthew's in a good place to get it.
Oh, yeah. Can we find the star in Matthew's outer space world?
I'm gliding on the star right now. That's why you see me shaking around. The star's a little wobbly, but I'm bringing it to you guys for good news.
Wow, I saw it. It was like a big green brick.
It might be a surprise. That's for good news.
Yeah. And it's Saturn. You're actually right next to Saturn.
There you go.
Yeah, look at that.
See, I told you, I'm bringing the star to you guys. I've been out here searching for good news for the last, month now? I finally found it. Bringing the star.
Bring the star to the show.
He's gonna catch a falling star.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Catch it.
I'd rather ride the falling star. You don't know how big stars are. They look small when you look up at them, but trust me, it's giant size.
All right.
Coming in right now.
We'll see you riding the shooting star or the falling star across Saturn.
Yeah, I'll have a lasso and a cowboy hat as I'm coming down.
I can see you doing that.
I would do that. I am that type of person.
And when you're done, just talk about it here on Good News.
But to backtrack a little bit with what Gabby was saying about giving out food and stuff, I have the perfect article for that. but I also think it's a really great thing that you do. So I'm going to bring up the next article. So we have, if it moves properly, a high school opened up a campus grocery store for students to pay in good deeds. So while it's not necessarily giving out food to homeless people and helping out people that need food, these kids can go into this store, say they want a certain type of food, and they have to do a good deed in exchange for food. So however many good deeds they do for the community, they get food for themselves. So it teaches kids to do good deeds, and hopefully it transcribes as they get older and they can continue doing it for humanity. This school is in North Texas. Ooh. And it's basically a school that pays in human kindness and valuable life lessons.
So what kind of good deeds
do they have to do? Like helping out the community, cleaning up. I'm gonna guess giving out food to homeless people too, but I don't really know exactly. It didn't really go into real deep specifics about it. So I can't give you those specifics, but I'm just gonna guess. It says it helps socially low economic families, etc.
That's really sweet. We need people. Yeah, we need people to have good deeds. I mean, it's so good to have that. Just do something good and you'll get a reward in life.
So it's teaching them to, they're giving them sort of a hand up than a handout, so they're teaching them valuable lessons.
So it's kind of like they say the Southern hospitality, then it's Texas hospitality. I guess Texas stepped it up one level above this time again.
Yeah, that's sweet. I think charity is amazing.
All states should be leveling up.
Yes.
You know, have a competition. Who's the greatest?
Ooh.
And helping out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
should have a world thing. Who's going to step up? Who's going to be the greatest city to step up in and help people in need? You know?
I think you got a brilliant idea, Gary.
I like it.
I love it. Yeah. Maybe we can think of something. Maybe we can try to put out here.
That sounds best, good.
Yeah. We'll have a competition where you can have good deeds and we'll vote who got the most good deeds.
Yeah, you know, we can have people send in what they do around the country from what state they represent. And we can make a scoring card for each state. We can vote the nicest state.
I'm down for that. Yeah, so if anybody wants to be in this, just do charity or something good and definitely message us and we can share it right here on Good News.
Yeah, just help your fellow man and womankind. You know, because yeah. You know, you may be in that situation one day, so you would like it if somebody helps you out.
Absolutely. I would love that myself, if, you know, to help someone, because it just really feels good inside. I definitely want to, Gary, you inspired me, Matthew, you know, you guys inspire me to do charity. And I definitely want to look for charity.
It's worth it in your heart. You feel so good after that, because you're not, you know, you're not asking for anything. You're just giving yourself.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great feeling. I wish I could do more.
Yeah.
If I was going to suggest one to do from my experience of doing charity a few times in life, I really do like Habitat for Humanity. When you kind of leave New York and you help people in other states, you start to realize just how blessed even the poorest New Yorker is compared to other states in this country. And when you actually help these people in these other states, it's so rewarding. I don't know how to explain how it's rewarding. It's just, money can't buy the reward you get from doing it. That's all I'm gonna say.
I used to go to soup kitchens, and I used to, you know, the meals, handing out meals to senior citizens, going to their homes. I forgot what that was called, but I used to do that. There's a great site called New York State of Mind, and you know, you can email them, and they'll send you a newsletter of what they're doing, and you can help them out. That's a good way to start. New York State of Mind.
New York State of Mind.
Yeah. They used to have
Great advice. I'm going to actually look that up.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do what we can to help others. If we have a toy that we're not using, we can donate it. Usually Toy for Tots. I don't know any other organizations, but even churches or...
Disney has a bin for Toy for Tots. Yeah, so when you go there, you can donate toys. If you say you buy something at the store, they have a bin, you just put it in the bin.
Oh, that's sweet. That's so nice of Disney. I love that.
Yeah.
I remember when we were little, we had a Christmas tree, and it was a small Christmas tree. We couldn't afford much when we were younger. But yeah, my mom did her best to get us Christmas presents. And it was, as a kid, you're like, oh my God, you don't know where it comes from, but it does brighten our day up. You know, the little things that really matter. You know, the moms out there, the dads, you know, the parents that can't afford stuff, it helps out when we donate something, if we can. So sweet. Yeah.
And it's good to do it all year round. But you know, something that never leaves us, just do it all year round. Because people are in need all the time.
Absolutely. I like that. All year round, definitely. Mm-hmm. Christmas or not, we'll get to donate. Right. I definitely want to volunteer somewhere and do charity because it's...
So I'm looking it up, and if you go to like newyorkcares.org, they have ways to donate and volunteer. There's newyorkvolunteers.ny.gov is another place. newyorkersvolunteer.ny.gov. volunteernewyork.org. So there's a lot of portals to go on to volunteer in New York. volunteermatch.org. Yeah. But I wonder if there's a way to volunteer remotely, because I know a lot of people are still reluctant to go and be less than 6 feet away from people.
Actually, I found New York State of Mind.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I found it. NYSOMgroup.org.
Yes.
I found them, and you can donate. Right now, the events are postponed a lot because of COVID, but you can still donate. It's a wonderful thing. So nysomgroup.org. And everything that Sylvia said, you can also check out those sites as well.
He used to have a meetup group, New York State of Mind, and it was half activities, half nonprofit. And now he just made it nonprofit.
Oh, so sweet. I like that. I will definitely check that up. I don't know if meetups are still going on right now. They are.
Yeah, they are.
Sweet.
But they're being careful.
Yeah.
But the guy who runs it, he's a great guy. I think he's a great humanitarian because he looks out for everybody. Aww. And volunteering is good.
Yeah, volunteering is good. I remember in St. John's University, when I went there, they did a lot of soup kitchens. I volunteered one time at least to do the peanut butter and bread sandwiches. We made the sandwiches and we wrapped it up and we gave it out to the homeless. And the churches, actually, St. John's Bread of Life. So it was really nice. It was a great experience, just knowing that you fed somebody.
That's great. Yeah, I did that in St. John's too. We went to the Ronald McDonald House and we made all these sandwiches.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What kind of sandwiches?
I'm getting hungry.
But it was pretty nice because it was a far off area and they provided us transportation to go and come, so we didn't have to worry about that.
So what kind of sandwiches?
Peanut butter and jelly. It's always peanut butter and jelly, but it's, you know, whenever I'm hungry and I don't know and I want to feel full, I always do peanut butter and jelly.
It's technically the most nutritious. You got your carbs, your fats, and your proteins all in one. So it actually, that's why they give it out. And it's also affordable.
Very nice.
I get the combination.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Smucker's Goobers?
Yes.
Oh my God. I remember I bought a whole jar and I ate it out. Like, I just kept eating it and I was done. Ooh.